Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, there are not many blockbusters being released in January, so it's a good time to catch up on less commercial films. So this week I'm looking at three movies: a chill art house pick, a over-the-top horror comedy musical, and a serious drama, and they're all about people caught in bad situations. There's an Iranian guy caught between a drug dealer and a vampire, Japanese filmmakers caught between rival Yakuza gangs, and a Russian caught by corrupt politicians. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, directed by Anna Lily Amirpour. Bad City. It's a place for lost souls. It's a desert town filled with oil rigs and refineries, separated from the rest of the world by a row of distant mountains. The streets are deserted, except for a few people. Arash, played by Arash Marandi, is a Persian James Dean who works as a gardener at a rich woman's mansion. And at home, he takes care of his dad, Hossein. Hossein, played by Marshall Manesh, is depressed and slowly using drugs to kill himself. Then there's the track-suited, tattooed drug dealer and all-around asshole, and the sex worker who peddles her wares in dark alleys, and a little kid with a skateboard who observes it all. Finally, there's a girl who walks home alone at night, played by Sheila Vond. The girl, who is kept nameless in the movie, wears the conservative black Iranian chador, an outfit that covers her head and body in an unbroken dark shroud. But hidden underneath the chador, she's like Marjane Satrapi, the cartoon artist with black eyeliner and a striped French jersey. She dances to emo dirges at home, and she only ventures out at night to wander the dark streets and look for human blood to drink. She's a vampire. So Arash owns nothing but his treasured sports car, and he loses that to the thug. But due to a strange turn of events, he suddenly finds himself surrounded by money, power, and drugs. He ends up at a costume party dressed in the cape and collar of Dracula. And in an ecstasy-induced haze, back on the street, he encounters the nameless girl who walks home alone at night. Is it true love, or is she going to eat him? This is a cool, somewhat opaque indie film shot in beautiful black and white. It's filled with sex, drugs, rock and roll, all in Farsi. It takes place in a limbo world caught somewhere between the American Southwest and Iranian oil fields. Slow-moving mood piece like Jim Jarmusch directing a Beckett play, but from a feminine perspective. Interesting movie. Why Don't You Play in Hell? Directed by Sono Shion. A team of aspiring college film geeks called the Fubombers, I can't say that word on radio, vowed to make a real movie starring one of their own, a Bruce Lee lookalike. But 10 years pass and still no luck. Meanwhile, two rival Yakuza gangs, that's organized crime, are in a permanent state of war. The Muto gang dresses in Godfather suits and carry guns, while the Ikegami gang wear classic kimono armed with genuine samurai swords. So teenage Mitsuko, she's the daughter of the Muto gang boss, is famous for a jingle she sang as a child on a TV toothpaste commercial. And the Ikegami boss still has a deeply buried crush on her. They met in a bloodbath 10 years earlier. So her Yakuza dad is bankrolling a film starring his reluctant daughter, but things start to unravel when the famous director of the movie quits in disgust. Who could make a movie produced by organized criminals, he wonders, especially when a gang war is about to erupt. So confusion, violence, mayhem ensues. And in walks the movie club to the rescue. Maybe they could take over the movie, but would rival gangs ever agree to let film geeks record a bloody and violent showdown on 35mm film as it happens? So my bare bones description doesn't do justice to this fantastic musical comedy, including an unbelievably blood-drenched 30-minute-long battle scene. It has to be seen to be believed. And the film is finally, I've talked about this movie twice before, but it's finally opening on the big screen in Toronto. Sono Shion's one of my favorite Japanese directors. His movies are outrageous and shockingly violent, but also amazingly sentimental, earnest, and goofy all at the same time. An odd, but oddly pleasing combination. Leviathan, directed by Andrei Zviagintsev. Pardon my Russian bad pronunciation. So Kolya, played by Alexei Serebryakov, is a mechanic who lives in northern Russia by the sea. His family's lived up there for three generations, and Kolya built his home with his own two hands. His son Rome is a bit spoiled, but doing okay at school, and his beautiful second wife works at the fish cannery, and they have a nice marriage. But there's trouble at City Hall. They want to seize his house and land to build something. Something municipal, they say. Kolya's furious, and he's not going to take this lying down. He's a real hothead. He's sure the mayor is up to no good. He just wants to build himself a big mansion. So Kolya calls up his army buddy in Moscow to give him a hand. Dima, played by Vladimir Vidovichenkov, is a lawyer, a high-power lawyer from Moscow. So he comes to town fully loaded with files on the very corrupt mayor named Vadim. The man has blood on his hands, he says, and he has the documents to prove it. This should stop the mayor in his tracks. So things are looking up. The trial looks promising, and if not, he can always file an appeal, and there's a picnic coming up too, a shooting party to look forward to. A local cop has invited the whole gang, family and friends, to head out to the cliffs to shoot a few bottles with their rifles and AK-47s. And boy, do these guys have a lot of empty vodka bottles to shoot. Meanwhile, Vadim, the criminal mayor, played by Roman Modianov, is plotting Kolya's downfall. He's an incredibly arrogant, abusive, and greedy politician, raging alcoholic, and he doesn't care who knows it. He has the judges, the cops, even the local church on his side. So this sets off a series of unforeseen events that turn Kolya's life into a Jobian ordeal of despair. So Leviathan, I can't stress this enough, is a fantastic movie, a slice of life look at modern Russia. Breathtaking, stark scenery, really great acting, but it's also a devastating indictment of corruption and how it affects regular people. Story starts slow but gradually grows, driving forward an unexpectedly powerful finish. It's also relevant. It's nominated for an Oscar, Best Foreign Film, but just last week, Russia's culture ministry has threatened to censor this movie before it's released there. That would be a real shame because this is a great film. Leviathan, Why Don't You Play in Hell, and A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, all open today in Toronto. Check our local listings. Also opening is Still Alice, starring Julianne Moore as a professor with early onset Alzheimer's. I'll talk about this next week. And The 50-Year-Long Argument, a documentary about the New York Review of Books. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.